We are back today to consider the series that we've been having on the love for the stranger, the love for our brethren, and especially now, love for our children. For God is pleased to gather His people, not only from among men and women, but also the precious heritage of the Lord, the children that God is pleased to give to His people. We want to focus on that today and in the weeks to come, by first of all considering the clear word of God in Proverbs 22 verse 6, where we read, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Consider this really as a introductory to some sermons on Christian parenting. I found that as a missionary, God's people who come to repentance and faith have many questions with regard to the rearing of their children. Training our children, well, is one of the most important as well as one of the most difficult tasks of a godly Christian parent. And I bring this aspect of the series to you not because I think I have all the answers, but because I believe and I know the Bible does. My wife and I have been blessed with 8 children, ranging from 7 through 20. We have continued to learn many things as we raise these children, and we have opened the scriptures together, and we have found that the Word of God has much instruction for us, and much comfort too. Psalm 127 verse 3 reminds us, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." We saw last week that Peter declared in Acts 2:39, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to those who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Therefore, it must be emphasized, our children too, belonging first of all to God, must be loved and must be well trained. Our text not only commands us in Proverbs 22 verse 6 to train, but comforts us with the promise, "And when that child is old, he shall not depart from it." Christian parents who take their calling to raise children up in the fear of God seriously may find good comfort in this word of God. One of the most painful experiences of godly parents, even more I think than death itself, is when they see their own children depart in sin. It's very, very painful. Let us consider the word of God here, training our children. There are several principles, but the chief principle in the training of our children is that of discipline. You see, the word train, chanak in the Hebrew, means to narrow, not to broaden, not to let loose, but to discipline. And while all of us as parents love to see our children walk in the godly way and walk in the fear of God, I am afraid that not all of us are willing to exercise ourselves in loving discipline for our children. You know, it's after all in the nature of children to walk the broad way of sin, for they, like us, are prone to sin. Worldly and ungodly philosophy of education is, let the children go, let them express, let them explore, even if what they do is immoral. Of course, the godly parent must recognize that this is wrong, must recognize that our children, just as we ourselves, must be governed by the principles of the Word of God. This is not to say that we are blind to the fact that God is pleased to give our children different gifts, different personalities, so that we must give time and space and patience for growth into maturity. Nevertheless, we must train our children, we must discipline them so that they will not walk the broad way of destruction. That's why God has given these precious children as tender lambs to godly parents. That's why fathers in Ephesians 6 verse 4 are exhorted, "Provoke not your children, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Because the fifth commandment teaches us that we must love our children even as it exhorts children to honor father and mother. Both parents then are involved in that training. Children, whether they are toddlers or teenagers, are to be included in this training. That's another question, huh, that always comes up. Train up a child in the way he should go. Well, whose responsibility, father or mother? And the answer is clearly both. Well, then the next question comes up, what do you mean, toddler? Or do you mean teenager? Or do you mean, you know, all ages? And my answer is yes, the young child as well as the older child and young people. Because you see, our text here in Proverbs 22 uses the general word nahar, which refers to a child from infancy to adolescence, not just to that little baby or toddler. It is translated in some places in the scripture as a young damsel or a young lad, or in some places simply as a child. I'm afraid we often hear the false notion, well, he's too old to train. He's a teenager. We can't discipline him, can we? We should let him alone, and we should let him learn on his own. I want you to notice that this text is indeed a call for us to love our children by exercising discipline. Because our text is not only a promise, but also a serious warning. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Often we look at this as a promise for godly parents, and indeed it affords much encouragement. God uses means, the means of godly Christian parents, most powerful means that God uses, even from the cradle on. Tender age, even from the womb on, if the child is taught the ways of God, that child will not depart from the faith. But the text is also a warning. If you let the child go, if you do not train the child, if you do not narrow the way, but you let the child go instead, in the way that the child wants to go, in the way of sin, in the way of disobedience, in the way of rebellion, then do not imagine, well, they are still young. As they grow older, they will realize. Now they can lie and they can cheat and they can do all kinds of things. But, when they come to years of discretion, they will be fine. And then you begin to let go. Instead of narrowing the way with discipline, with loving discipline now, you let him or her sow some wild oats, so to speak. After all, if he's a child of God, God himself will work repentance and faith in that child, will he not? I say to you then, you are in danger of losing that child in the way of destruction, rebellion, and wickedness. The means that God uses is the diligent training given to children by godly parents and by teachers and by elders. There are different methods, of course, of that training. Spanking, grounding. There must be a place even in the midst of that training of discipline where we show pity, understanding, listening, learning to grow with the children. All those things are important too. But the basic principle of discipline, of narrowing the way, directing them in the right way, must not be forgotten. And I believe that in our day of much tolerance and lack of discipline, this must be emphasized. Train up the child in the way he should go. The lofty purpose for such training is to direct the child in the way he should go. Not in the way that he wants to go, but in the way he should go. Not in the way that the world wants our children to go, or what might be politically right or acceptable, but in the way that child should go. Do not forget, I remind you again, that by nature our children are no different from us. They are by nature sinners, prone to hate God and to love sin. You believe that, don't you? In foolishness, we must not overly protect our children and begin to think, well, they are so innocent, they are so nice, they are so cute, they are so good. And then while on the mission field, we preach against sin and we call men and women to repentance, when it comes to our own covenant children and young people, we say, they are not so bad. And we even believe their lies. And when they come home complaining that the teacher is such and such, we believe our children. And we will say, my child won't do that. My child is not that bad. Truth is, only by the grace of God are they the children of God. And we must not imagine that they will walk in the way of faith and repentance by the way of compromise. There are only two ways that children will go, the way of sin and destruction, or the way of grace and glory. Godly Christian parents are bound, duty-bound, to train their children in the ways of the Lord. They're commanded to lead these children in the narrow way, instructing them and leading them by example. Which way are you training your children? Are you training them in what the scriptures call the way, that is, as revealed in the scripture? The way of Jesus Christ, the way everlasting, the way unto the Father? So that they know with you that when we are saved by grace in Christ, then we walk in the way of godly faith and gratitude. So that we now serve the living God, and we walk in that love for God and love for the neighbor. Or are you letting them go in the way of death, the way of the world, of sin and darkness, so that they in your home have an environment where sin is taken lightly, or where the word of God is taken lightly, where church attendance is despised, where somehow there is an idea which is antinomian, that is to say against the law, so that all guidelines and all rules are made to be broken, so to speak, so that there is no training, there is no discipline. Godly Christian parenting must have this as the main goal, that our children may walk in the way of God. In the way of God. In the way that they should go. Not in the way they want to go, or in the way that the world wants them to go, but in the way of God. Oh yes, we pray and we desire that that is indeed the way that they would want to go as they grow up. That they themselves begin to desire that way as the Holy Spirit works that faith and repentance in their hearts. But we must train them with that purpose and put before them clearly the way that they should go. Now, does this all mean that godly Christian parents have no interest in other aspects of the child's development? Of course, godly Christian parents must also give careful attention to the other spheres of life. The child needs to grow physically. The child needs to grow psychologically, emotionally, mentally. That is all, of course, under that training that godly parents must give their children. They must ensure that their children are taught at home and then at the Christian school. They must not say, well, it's not important which school our children go to. They must make sure that what the children are being taught at school is also that which is in line with the preaching and teaching of God's word and that which is being taught at home. In fact, I believe that the Christian school is an extension of the home. It is the parents' responsibility to train up their children. They must not just give up that responsibility to some school board or worse yet to a public school. They must make sure that they are involved in the instruction of their children. Not all parents, of course, are able to do that at home. And it is, I believe, a very good thing that has happened right from the Old Testament throughout the ages, where then godly Christian parents band together and they employ some teachers to focus their attention on the instruction of these children in Christian schools. And I believe that is proper and that is good. But it is still the calling of parents to make sure that their children are being well educated. Just as really it is the calling then of the parents to make sure that these children are faithful in church. They must ensure that these children are in the catechism room. They must ensure that the children are with them in church to hear the word of God. All this, after all, whether it be in the physical, psychological, mental, or spiritual realm, must be for one sole purpose, that the child might go not in the way of the world, not in the way of humanism, not simply so that they might have a good life here on earth, but ultimately in the way they should go, in that way that is pleasing to God. So that all things that we teach them, as the scripture tells us, even whether we eat or drink, we do for the glory of God. So that we do not have an environment at home where our children are learning, well, you know what, when we go to church, we do it for the glory of God. But when we are on vacation, well, it's only all for ourselves, and then now we can walk in sin for a while, nobody knows. Well, when we are at the job, well, that's just to earn a living, and that's just to earn good money so that we can have a good life. Oh no, we must teach our children that in every sphere of life, they must do all things to the service of Almighty God. That is the way of God, the way of the Scriptures. Beloved, how much time do you spend training your children in the ways of God? Do you read your Bible with them? Pray with them? Listen to their questions and seek to answer their questions? Are you at home enough so that you are able to listen to your children and spend quality time with them? Isn't it interesting that the houses that we built today are far larger than the homes people had in the past? And yet, very often, those very large palaces are empty. Home life is so little nowadays, and that's sad. To see a family sitting around a table daily, to have family devotions, to eat together, to pray together, what a delight and what a blessing. And yet, we find that that is not something which is commonplace nowadays, not even in the Christian home. Do you take time to make sure that your children then know their catechism lessons by reviewing the work with them? Does your church even have catechism classes for these children so that you might during the week train them, so that you might send them to these classes to continue to be instructed in the ways of God? After the worship service, even as you bring these children with you to church, do you discuss the sermons with them, the sermons that they have heard with you? Seek to explain them to the children. We will focus on this aspect of parental Christian instruction because it is so important that we do not forget this love for our children while we zealously do the work of missions, loving the stranger, and even loving one another in the Church of Jesus Christ. It all begins here. Do we seriously take our calling to teach our children the wonderful works of God? Do we realize that we have been adopted as the children of God and now know the gracious covenant of God so that now in turn we look at these children and treat them as God has treated us? God disciplines us, doesn't He? Do we discipline our children? God pities us, doesn't He? Do we pity our children? God loves us, doesn't He? Do we love our children? Is Christ the head of our homes? Or is He simply a showpiece, you know, like a word on the wall? Christ is the head of our homes. While we as tyrants seek our own whims and fancies, treating our children with despise, or perhaps worse yet, with hatred and sinful anger. Or are we gone from the home so much and leave our children to others to take care of, that really our children are more a burden to us than a blessing? Train up the child in the way he should go. Walk in careful, loving discipline with your children, so that indeed that purpose might be accomplished also in your home, that your child, son and daughter, and perhaps also in the days to come, your children's children might continue to walk in the way they should go, even the way of God through Jesus Christ. God's word promises that if we train up our children in the way they should go, then when they grow up, they will not depart from it. You know, even worldly psychologists know that a child's formative years are the ones that have the most lasting impact on that child. If a young child learns a certain way, when he is old, he will go that way. Be very hard to depart from it. If children from young learn the ways of God, as they grow old, they will not easily depart from those ways. When children from young learn the ways of Jehovah, they will not easily ignore and forget those ways. They will remember. They will tend to walk that way. Not always, but as a general rule. Oh, they might kick against the pricks, and they might even loudly say that's not the way they want to go. But ultimately, they will go that way, for God is pleased to use godly Christian parenting for the gathering of his own. That is the way he's pleased to gather his church, even in the line of generations. Oh no, this is not a blanket statement, as if we do our part, God will do his part, and somehow salvation depends on us. Must be careful with that, you know. Even after faithfully raising a child, and that child turns out to be ungodly, and perhaps even walk for a long time, or even to the end, as an unbeliever and a rebel, we must not then become devastated. For God does not promise to save each and every one of our children. The important thing is that we must have a good conscience before God, that we have trained up our children in the fear of God, and that God does promise that in that way he is pleased to gather his people. And then, if it does not please God to save all our children, or if some of our children walk in the way of rebellion, we must not then be crushed. Even then, we must continue to pray for our children. Who knows if that child is a prodigal who must yet return? Who knows if that child will not, in latter years, remember the things that he learned in his formative years and turn in faith and repentance? For you see, this is usually the way that God is pleased to save his children. This is the way, through godly Christian parenting, through training, that he gathers from children in the line of the covenant. Yes, he gathers from afar off too. Some in older life come to repentance and conversion, just as my wife and I were brought out of heathendom. You know, maybe those of us who come out of heathendom and unbelief tend to become more zealous in missions because we were once there. But now, we must not imagine that that is the only way and only emphasize missions. Can you imagine that? If Esther and I now only paid attention to evangelism all our lives and only did the work of missions and were not interested and did not take the time and did not see the responsibility to train up our children in the way they should go, oh, then we will be accused, and rightly so, that you have kids who are known as PKs, preacher's kids. And you know, it makes me very sad to hear that. Sometimes I hear that that's what's expected of preacher's kids, that because the preacher is so busy, and because the preacher is so put on a pedestal, that perhaps preacher's kids are expected to walk in sin and rebellion, and well, they have special privileges and so on and so forth. I don't believe that is right. Absolutely not. Then the children of preachers ought to be the ones who should set a good example. Oh no, not with undue pressure, of course, for they are sinners just like everyone else. But preachers better take heed, I better take heed, that I too, with my wife, must train up our children in the way they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. Imagine that then, that when that child grows, that child from your loins grows old, maybe he or she is now with a walking stick, and he or she is himself suffering. But that child is seen as one who does not depart from the ways of Jehovah, but is found singing psalms and praising God, walking in that direction that leads to life everlasting. What joy, what bliss to your soul. Maybe you are then going to be that great-grandfather on a walking stick or in a bed of affliction. And then you have these children and grandchildren sitting around you, singing the praises of God. What a blessing and what a joy. May we who have brought our children for baptism walk in that consciousness and remember our vows. And may we who have not brought our children for baptism remember that the promise is unto us and to our children, that we may also bring them into the fellowship of the triune God and then rear them in the fear of God, promising to raise these children as the children of God. May God give us grace to train up our children in the way they should go, so that when they grow old, they will not depart from it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee that Thou dost give to us and to our children Thy precious promises in Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee for that awesome calling that we should train up these children in the way they should go. We commend our children, O Lord, to Thee, the precious heritage of the Lord. May Thou love them and be gracious to them. And may Thou help us parents, that in the love of God we may love our children and train them for Jesus' sake. Amen.